May our Lord Jesus Christ be with us. The subject I chose for today is the love for the society. And the society, I mean our society. And during the annual reflection weekend, I spoke about us being married to the society. And our badge as a symbol of our wedding ring. Remember that? Today, I will continue to use the same metaphor of love between two human beings, normally a man and a woman, as the topic I chose is our love for the society. For us men, who most of us by nature physiologically are attracted towards the opposite sex, it can be helpful to compare the society to a woman whom we love. It is common in our culture that things or organizations are given a female identity. In languages which have grammatical gender, where nouns are classified in male and female categories, like Latin, Spanish, Italian, and even Maltese, for example, we have ships, cars, communities, societies, that they are always classified as female. Do you realize that?
Even countries,
motherland. This might make it easier for us to give expression to our emotions and say, yes, I do love the society. That every so often, spontaneously, because I really like the society, I share with other fellow members and maybe other people, family, and people whom I know, how beautiful is our society. How good it is for us to be here. How lucky I feel I have been incorporated a member. And now I will try to describe the love that a member should have for the society within this metaphor. Yesterday, when I was traveling from Tasmania to Melbourne, I was the first to board the plane. It's the first time it happened. And I was lucky that I had a window seat, which I prefer. I prefer a window seat. Sitting on a seat on public transport is always like taking potluck. I can never help myself wondering who will be the person to come sitting next to me. And I waited with some curiosity. Maybe a good conversation can follow. Sometimes it did happen. It happened that soon there was a man of my age, maybe a bit older, because his hair color started having a tinge of white, and he sat down. But closely following him came his younger partner, a bubbly, gorgeous blonde. 4 inches, at least 4 inches taller than her companion. And she was wearing the stylish coat. Yes. Politely, I said hello both to them. They politely replied, but soon we all dived in our reading. I was reading a book in Maltese, in Old Maltese, that's called Preparation for Death by San Alphonse Maria Liguori, which I found in the roof at Sandy Bay. Okay. But soon I couldn't help noticing, you couldn't help it, that this woman couldn't keep herself off her partner. And there was an obvious infatuation. They were hot in love. After non-stop kissing, petting, and hugging, I got a bit embarrassed with all this. And myself, I tried as much as possible to dive myself deeper in my book and forcing myself to look the other way, letting the couple enjoy and celebrate the moment. But this is not the type of love that we normally have for the society, even though some passion can put some spice in the life of the society, which sometimes we need. I call it more infatuation, which might be love in its infancy that has to mature through time, through the everyday routine and mundanity of our lives. Therefore, a better example of love that we might compare our love for the society to would be the love of a couple who has been together for a number of years, say 10 years, 15 years. And you all know couples like that, whose children now are going into secondary school, then they have been up and down the roller coaster of life, with its up and downs. They have committed themselves to marriage, have taken maybe the responsibility of a big loan. Yes, both of the parents worked their butt off to give the best future of their to their children. Yes, both these parents, as we know at work, they have temptations. But at the end of the day, they decide to stay faithful to each other. Yes, even as their bodies start to age, and the youthful looks are gone, and wrinkles appear, and tires of fat start building around their waist, they still seek to see the beauty in each other. Rather than letting themselves be tempted to other younger and more attractive Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. They strive not to take each other for granted, and that they keep nourishing their relationship with simple, loving gestures. Yes, a mom recently expressed with me how much she appreciated when her husband surprised her with a bunch of flowers. And I ask, when was it the last time that I offered a treat to my fellow members in the center? Because if we're using the metaphor, are we doing similar things? Our love for the society, sometimes I compare it to a love of a couple who, after having committed themselves to each other, have not been gifted with offsprings. And after trying all possible medical procedures, came to accept the fact that they will be a childless couple and keep making a choice that the lack of children will not affect their love that they have for each other. Like you, I know of a similar couple who to me seemed a bit more devoted towards each other. And it seems there is this special bond between them. Therefore, sometimes I take this type of love as a metaphor for my love and our love for the society. On other times, our love for the society is like the love my dad, to mention a bit my family, has for my mom, who has aged beyond her years, and that because of her sickness, she seems now only a ghost of what she used to be. Although surely my mom can be embarrassing to all of us in her behavior, none of us would be embarrassed to keep loving her. It is a love that is unconditional, love towards our parents. And in a way, this love is prophetic to the fiercely pragmatic cultural trends that prevail in our culture. Love because I get something back. This love for the society I'm talking about is not idealistic, unrealistic, or naive. but is a love that is rooted in the stark reality of mundanity, of the ordinary, of the day-to-day life. Life that is made of a complex web of human relationships that range from a tinge to a good dose of egoism. You'll be lucky, and yes, sometimes you find it hard to find, sometimes you find, but it's not that often, that people are selfless. It's hard to find somebody who's really selfless. That's a saint. And as I said in the last meeting, it's not that easy to come across a saint. Therefore, a humanity that is not perfect, that ages, that becomes sick, fragile, vulnerable, and that suffers from chemical imbalances. Yes, it's a down-to-earth love that oscillates between being exuberant, joyful, full of vivacity, to apathy, sorrow, and lethargy. This is our daily life. A love that gets energized seeing others being faithful. On the other hand, it's also a love that gets frustrated by the behavior of members who are not up to the expectation put forward by our rule and the ideals of the society. It is a love that is not rooted in past nostalgic good feelings of the good old times, when we were younger, healthier, had more ministry. It is rooted and seated in the present moment that seeks incessantly to be faithful within the limitations of each individual. Each of us are called to be faithful in our own ways. It's a love that is aware of the limitations of other members and that it might need to redimension its expectations depending on the limitations of the community. Yes, sometimes itself sacrifices itself to the point that it can make itself sick, but is humble enough to ask for help. Slow down for a while until it recovers its energies. It is a love that goes through a time of crisis where it needs to reinvent itself and hopefully emerge as a better and a more mature love. A mature love that is rooted in gratitude. It feels blessed. It counts its blessings day by day and prayerfully thanks God for them. It is a love that is proud that it is unique, that it will not let others put it down for any reason, because it knows deep down that it is one unique incarnation of the love that God has for humanity. Even less, it refuses to let itself be influenced by the cynical attitude that puts everything down. And yes, that there will be some members who are influenced by that. Attitudes that are fueled by a lack of trust, by a lack of values, by pessimistic outlooks. It will not let negative attitudes weigh it down, spiraling it down into the pit of despair and collective inferiority. Yes, it is a love that finds its inspiration in the Easter story and does not get stuck just into the Passion story. As Pope Francis emphatically wrote in his encyclical, it refuses to become querulous, which means critical, and disillusioned, pessimistic, and he uses the term sourpusses. I would like to move on to 4 points now, shared by the Superior General in a Wednesday meeting on the same topic. And the 4 points are this. are these. Why do I love the society? How is this love put in practice? What helps me love the society? What hinders me from loving the society? And from now on, I'd like this to be a bit more interactive rather than me listening. Therefore, why do I love the society? Why is it? What drew you towards the society? What still draws you towards the society? Why do you love it? What do you say?
It tends to set you alight. It tends to give some uniformity to life. Right? You know that at certain times in the evening, this and this and this is going to happen. And therefore, you're not sort of thinking, oh, what's going on? What's going to be this evening? So, you know, it does set that part of your life.
Yes. It's interesting, Angelo. A member in Tasmania shared exactly that. The routine that the society gives you. And he finds it that some things that draws him towards the society. It's interesting. Yes, what else draws you towards the society? Why do you love the society? Last week, we spoke about Eugenio Jejeabur. And he was convinced that the society was an instrument, something from God, to strengthen the faith. Therefore, yes, Joe, there is that conviction. I love others through the society, and it's our call. What else draws you towards the society? Yes, John.
When you are on an boat, okay, they will see that you belong. And I have been stopped in shops, I have been stopped in streets, I have been stopped in outside special cheap shops. One who told me, you've taught me when you were. I said, who? I can't remember. I said, I went through so many kids. You're giving out the seeds. And I was stopped. And they look at you. For example, when I had the house, okay, the agent himself, he told me, John, the way you talk to me, okay, you are a good guy. He told himself, and he's got 25 years experience of housing. He told me, look, I don't know, you are a different guy.
Therefore, you're using several metaphors, John. You use the metaphor of the boat, the society gives us a sense of belonging. We belong here.
Yeah. He said to me, you are not the same as the others, the way you've talked to me. And he knows the whole family. He told me, you're different.
Thanks for sharing that, John. Anybody else wants to share? Yes, Tony. Of course, of course.
And so you know, without possibly having them explained, having that explained to them in their minds, they see that there is
There's definitely a hunger for role models. There's definitely a hunger among especially young people. And as teachers, those of us who are teachers, we can experience it in everyday life. Yes, and
also the fact that we're interacting with different characters strengthens your virtual patience.
This is one other thing, Anthony. I can say whom it is. I don't think I'll. This is Cody shared with me this in the group. We did exactly the same thing, and Cody said exactly what you're saying. That, oh yeah, there are some members that are a bit, but he said it might be providential, because like that we become better members because it gives us a challenge. It's, and that's what you're saying.
The next challenge is that, and I think that's why a lot of us are very successful in outside, in such a way, as a team or professional so forth, because we interact, even though we know each other, we interact with each other on a professional level. And therefore, that helps us to interact with outsiders on a professional level also. And therefore, it's a little bit like a training ground, which actually builds confidence, and also builds a sense of you can laugh at yourself, and you're not embarrassed at that. You know what I mean?
Yes, Noel.
What I find also interesting in our society, that when we meet at the assignment, it would be interesting to have it's a conversation sort of thing, if it is a discussion about something in the assignment. And then the beauty of it is that after a long day of work, you're going to meet with your friends in society, that you're going to discuss how the day has been. So there's nothing wrong with sharing. With your fellow member, and express within the experience that you went through.
And it's what John said, the sense of belonging, and you feel that you are part of a valued member, and that you feel that you're accepted as you are, and therefore you feel comfortable to share.
So what I'm trying to say is, if you are able to do it, it's good that you share your experiences.
That's yes. Yes, Joe.
Also, I suppose if you were hanging around as the word was, with people who has the same values as you, so that means that there is great support, because if we hang around with people who their values are very different,
Of course, Joe. Especially faith.
Yeah,
I don't think you can live faith nowadays individually. You need to have the support of a group. Thanks for pointing that out. Something that we didn't mention, but definitely we feel, it's more on a theological level, but our aim in life is to be holy. In other words, is to love our God. And our love of God is expressed in a way in the love of the society, because that's what we feel that God called us for. Therefore, me being in the society, I'm giving pleasure to God, because that's what I feel that I'm called for. How is this love of the society put in practice now? How can you, as a genuine member who says, I really love the society, how are you putting this love in practice? What are you doing?
Think. He's there.
Therefore, yes, we put this love into practice by being there, you mean.
You haven't
to say anything, you be there. It's your being yourself there. Daniel.
That we're using, and he always asks couples that he is preparing for marriage to pick a symbol for their marriage, because sometimes they come up with a heart, sometimes they'll come up with whatever it is. And then he tells them that their symbol should be a crucifix, and they sort of look at him, so it's not a funeral, what are you talking about? Mm. But he says that the idea of a crucifix is that we die to ourselves for the other. So to answer your question of if we really love the society, how do we show that love? And if we're going to use the analogy of a marriage, it's the idea of dying to self for what the society is about and what we, you know, and taking on what society wants of us as members. So it's maybe sort of time to...
I want to continue a bit on this, Daniel, because this is one of the points that the Superior General made. He used a bit of a different language, but he used dedication. Is to dedicate yourself towards the mission of the society, giving yourself 100%. The problem is that nowadays, we're not talking only about things in our society, this is getting harder and harder to dedicate your energy. And I don't think it's just a spiritual thing, is that there are so many opportunities around us. We've got limited energy, limited time, and there is so much around that can dissipate our energy. I compare it is, I've got like a small bucket of water, and I can't water a whole garden. I can only water a patch. If I try to water the whole garden, everything will die. Therefore, it's having that focus and that dedication by its very, what the word means, to dedicate your little energy on one mission, the mission of the society. And the other things, yes, will have to have a secondary role. Is this dying to the self, as and Daniel is saying as well, dying to the self, committing yourself fully. That's the way how what real love is about. Anybody else who wants to share how to put this love in practice? Tony. Can you repeat that?
Making ourselves reliable, suitable, and available.
And available.
And I actually used these words at a course last year when talking about spirituality. I used these three words, and people were absolutely stunned by this. It's so true.
It's really good. Yes, yes. I want to continue a bit on that.
Yeah.
Is it another thing, John?
No, it's continuation.
Okay, if you, it's this, yeah, continue. And
reinventing.
Therefore, the Superior General put it like this. How I put this love into practice, first of all, is by taking care of myself, being a better person, because through me being a better person, the community will get better. Remember a phrase that U2, I think most of you would remember the band U2 in the 80s. They have something, I forgot the name of the album, I found it. You cannot change the world, but you can only change the world in yourself. You cannot change the world, but you can only change the world in yourself. Therefore, if we love the society, we try to, as much as possible, focus on ourselves, how can I make myself more reliable, more faithful, more reliable? Any other sharing about how to put this love in practice? The Superior General finished with a last point, is to try as much as possible. It's related to the first one, is to persevere in my vocation. Because I believe that the society is a better community with me rather than without me. I believe that this is how God called me to be faithful. There might be other ways, but this is the way how I believe that God called me to be faithful. Therefore, to persevere in my vocation and to find the means to persevere, that is how I put my love in practice, like a husband, we already said, puts temptations away and tries to be faithful in the everyday living of his vocation and marriage. Moving on, what can help me love the society? Therefore, what are some means